I get the privilege, I have the challenge of trying to wrap up or bring to a conclusion this series we've been in now, counting today 3 weeks, that we've entitled More. And if this is your first Sunday with us today, or if you've just been on vacation, or if you've been playing hooky, or you know whatever your past couple weeks have looked like, you're in luck, because today I want to just bring all this back to what we've been talking about on this subject of more. What we've been talking about are your appetites and my appetites. And not just the appetites that we have for like a filet mignon at Ruth Chris, or the appetite that we have for a hot now Krispy Kreme donut, okay? Not those, and I know now your mouths are watering. But we've been talking about the appetites that your Creator and my Creator have given all of us, that He has wired us with. The appetites that we have, sure, for food is one of those appetites. But also the appetite for sex is another one of those appetites. And then for progress is another one of those appetites. And then possibly also the appetite for getting respect from other people, the appetite for love, the appetite for things. These are the appetites that each and every one of us have. And over these past couple weeks, what we've really, really tried to make clear is one main fact about these appetites that you have and that I have. These appetites that were given by your Heavenly Father to you and given to me as well, He desires for us to enjoy them when they're under His control and under His leadership. And we can do that. But also, these appetites can also, if they are left to uncontrolled or if they get out of control, can actually ruin your life. They can really, really destroy you. Really, the shortest way to say this is that appetites are very, very powerful. They're very powerful in your life and they're powerful in my life. Now, one thing we all know when we think about how appetites can ruin you is that every one of us in our lives know of at least one person, either from afar or even up close, that we know that has had their appetites ruin them. And if you can't think of anyone right now that's not coming to mind, let me just share with you about an individual that likely all of you heard about this past week. And it has to deal with this football player, a tight end for the New England Patriots. Did you guys hear about this in the news this past week? All over the news. And here's a guy by the name of Aaron Hernandez who allegedly is involved in a murder, possibly a couple of murders. And here's a guy that when you kind of look at from the outside looking in, he is arguably on one of the best teams in the NFL, playing with one of the greatest quarterbacks to ever play the game. He's a Pro Bowler. He has a 5-year, $40 million deal. And I didn't stutter, okay? That's a lot of blessing, right? And here he is, and what we're hearing at least now, that they have a lot of evidence to seemingly say he has committed these crimes. Here he is now in a position where he has traded, potentially forfeited all of those blessings, and that's a lot of blessing, because of out-of-control appetites. These appetites have taken him down a path that likely, either now or maybe down the road, we hope he'll look back on them, if all these things point out to and prove to be true as to what they think, and he'll say, I wish I would have never done that. But you know, the same is true for you and myself. It is my honest opinion and belief that every one of us in this room are that close to having our appetites go completely out of control and take you down a path and lead you to a place that you never, ever, ever desire to be in. And here's the reason why. Let me tell you the reason why appetites are this powerful. As we said in week one, there are three facts about appetites that, in my opinion, are the trifecta. That when you really get these three appetites or facts about appetites together and they're going the wrong direction, they build like a snowball and they carry you down this hill and carry you to a place and keep you in a place you never want to be. And here are the three facts. First and foremost, yes, your appetites were given to you by your Creator, and He desires for you to enjoy them. But there's also another side to this, and that is that your appetites have in some way or another been tainted or they have been distorted by sin. Here's what this means, just practically speaking, is that as you have an appetite for food, or you have an appetite for progress, or you have an appetite for sex, or you have an appetite for all these different things, that when your appetites are just distorted by sin, in essence, what they desire and what they crave is not God's best, but they want to try to fulfill themselves in another way. So when your appetites are thinking or feeling this way or drawn this way, not wanting what's God's best, that's a problem. That's problem number one. The second fact about appetites, which continues to build the snowball, is that your appetites are never fully and finally satisfied. They're unquenchable. So if your appetite already wants something that's not God's best, and then it wants more of it, you can see how this can continue to build and become something that's very, very big, and it's a massive problem in your life. And then thirdly, your appetites are always saying, now, never later. So you take the appetite of sex. It's a God-given appetite. It's something that God created for you to enjoy and for you to experience in a way that He says is best. But if you take this appetite that is also distorted by sin and it wants to try to fulfill this desire, this craving, this appetite in a way that's not God's best, and it wants more of that, and it's saying now, never later, you can see how this appetite has destroyed a lot of people's lives. And likely it's possibly affecting your life as well. You can see the same for progress, that you're wanting to get ahead in your job. You're wanting to continue to make progress in relationships or maybe with your health or whatever it may be. But it's never satisfied. And so you always want more. And it's always saying now, never later. And as a result, you try to pursue progress to the neglect of your wife or your husband or your kids. And you can take every appetite and you put it through this trifecta and you can see how the snowball can build. And honestly, guys, it can absolutely build so strong and so big, it can wreck your life. Now, these past 2 weeks, here's been our goal. Our goal has been, first and foremost, to try to get every one of us on the same page to see how big and how serious this issue is with our appetites. To just bring awareness to the subject. And then also, Eddie last week did a phenomenal job of trying to get all of us to just narrow in and focus on that whenever you start pursuing one of these appetites, or when these appetites get out of control, you need to take a step back and you need to think about what you're trading for that appetite. When that appetite is saying, now I've got to have it, versus later, because it's always saying that, and I need more, you need to take a step back and consider, what is this bowl of stew, as he pointed out in the story of Jacob and Esau, that you feel like you have to have, that years later, days later, months, maybe even minutes later, you may look back and say, oh God, I wish I would have never done that. What is that? And then lastly, the other point we've been trying to communicate to you and share with you is this, is that every one of us in this room, including myself, need the Spirit's help to get on top of, to control our appetites. The reality is no one in this room can effectively on their own control and manage their appetites the way God wants you to. You need the filling of the Holy Spirit. You need the Holy Spirit's help in your life. So here's my hope. My hope is this morning is that those of you that have either watched the messages online or have been here these past 2 weeks, that you've done possibly a few things, and even if this is your first Sunday and you're just now hearing this for the first time, here's my hope for you, is that every one of you right now are aware of and are thinking about some appetites or maybe one that you tend to struggle with the most. And you've identified those. And they're probably just all over the board as to what those are. The ones that you really, really, really battle with. The ones that are just deep inside your soul that you know you struggle with. That you've identified that. Our second hope is that some of you have started taking these appetites from the corner, from the secret place, and you've been taking it to God and asking God for help. And you've exposed them, you've brought them to God, and you say, God, I need your help. I cannot do this on my own. That is our hope for you to this point. But here's what I bet. I bet that if I were to go to coffee with each and every one of you sometime this week, and we were to sit down and I were to ask you, how are you doing in this area, this appetite that you're struggling in? Many of you, maybe all of you, would look at me and say, you know, I've identified what it is. I've taken it now before God. I quit trying to hide it from God. I've asked God to get involved in this. I've shared with God how much I need Him. And in those moments, I feel freedom. In those moments, I feel His grace. In those moments, I feel His love. But you would possibly go on to say, but Jonathan, to be honest with you, I still feel like I'm getting my butt kicked by this appetite. I still feel like I cannot say no. I still feel like that this temptation, this appetite is working so strongly in my life that I just feel like an MMA fighter that is pinned down and it's just beating me constantly. And I don't know what to do. You know, I've done enough counseling and I've also been through enough life experiences personally to share this with you right where you're at, every one of us. Because if you're not here in this situation now, you have been in the past or you will be in the future. It's normal for all of us. But here's the reality. When you find yourself with these appetites that are just beating you up and beating you up, and you're doing everything you know to do with you and God, and now it's moved from being your secret to now it's a secret between you and God, and you're trying to work this out, is that in those moments you find yourself at a crossroads. And the crossroads you find yourself at is, okay, what do I do now? It's not going away. I'm begging God. I'm pleading with God. I'm making promises to God. God, get rid of this. It's not going away. What do I do now? And the temptation is for you to either go back in the corner, make it a secret again, leave God out of it, and try to continue to do this, which you know where that leads you, or for you to keep fighting. And you find yourself in this crossroads. And here's what's taking place inside of you, is that in your heart, you have a love-hate relationship with these appetites. Don't you? Part of you loves it. Part of you hates it. The part that loves it is the part of you that says, hey, there is some pleasure and some enjoyment that seemingly comes from this appetite and me fulfilling it this way. Otherwise, you wouldn't do it. But then on the other side of it, there's the hate side. And it's the hate side to where you step back, and when you read the scripture, when you hear talks like this, or when you just get along with God, you recognize that where this appetite is taking you is taking you down a path where you're going to trade something you're going to wish you could have back. You're going to trade your intimacy in your marriage for a moment. You're going to trade your family for some type of fling. You're going to trade maybe your health for this. You're going to trade other things for progress. You're going to trade things. And so there's this love-hate thing that you have going on in your life. And it's in those moments, isn't it, where a lot of us were just desperate. And we really, really need help. Here's what I want to do this morning. This is my goal today. And it's really one thing. It's to encourage you. And here's how I want to encourage you today. The writer of most of the New Testament, his name was Paul, formerly Saul, became a follower of Jesus. And Paul, when he wrote these letters to all these churches that he would plant or he would mentor, okay? I mean, this guy was given everything for Jesus, to share with everyone about the hope of Jesus. When he would write his letters, here's what you feel and you hear hints of, and also you see very clear expressions of. Paul also struggled with appetites. He did. Paul, on one occasion, actually said this. He said, the things I want to do, I don't do. But I find myself doing the things I don't want to do. So he says, the things I don't want to do, I do. The things I don't want to do, I do. The things I want to do, I don't do. The things I want to do, I don't do. And back and forth. And that's what Paul says. Is that Paul felt it almost, when you read it, you're like, wow, I can identify with that. And that's what Paul communicates. Paul also said that he is the chief of sinners. In essence, what Paul was saying was, is that there's everybody else and then there's me. And here was a guy that was giving it all for God and committed to God and being used by God. And so when Paul wrote letters to these churches, to these Christ followers, just like us in our day, he was writing to them many times trying to encourage them, but also trying to help them deal with the things they were battling in life. In one letter he wrote to the church at Ephesus, to a group of Christians there, in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8, I want you to see this. This is brilliant. Because Paul starts speaking to them clearly about how in the world you are to deal with this battle that you're facing when you feel like giving up or giving in. Ephesians 5, 8, here's what he says. He says, for at one time, you were darkness. But now you are light in the Lord. Here's what Paul did. Paul began by reminding people of something that is absolutely awesome. He said, guys, listen, at one time in your past, this could have been days, it could have been hours, could have been years, could have been decades. At some point in your past, you were in darkness. You were alienated from the life of God. You had no relationship with God. And you were, in many ways, enslaved to your appetites, to sin, and to darkness. But he says, but now you are the light in the Lord. Here's what Paul reminded them of. He reminded them of the gospel. He reminded them of that you are deeply, deeply loved. And you're never alone. He reminded them that Jesus, you are loved so much that Jesus came from the heavens and rescued you from you. And you're never alone. And you know, when we're going through these tough times, when we're struggling with appetites that are continually beating us up, and we're struggling between trying to bring them to God and trying to find freedom and trying to find all these things, the one thing that we really need to be reminded of over and over and over again is that you are no longer in darkness, but you've been moved to the light. You are a son of God. You are a daughter of God. You are loved deeply. Paul continues. Here's what he says. He says, now walk or live or act as a child or children of the light. In essence, do the things that God says you're to do. Watch verse 9. He said, for the fruit, or here's what walking in the light looks like. For the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true. In verse 10, he says, and try to discern or differentiate between what is pleasing to the Lord, and do that. Verse 11, take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead, will y'all say the word with me? Expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of the things that they do in secret. But when anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible. Here is what Paul is getting at, guys. Is that when you find yourself struggling with appetites, Paul says, I can identify. The things I want to do, I don't do. The things I don't want to do, I do. Okay, I got it right that time. That's what Paul was saying. I can identify with you. Here's what you need to know in those moments. When you feel like giving up, when you feel like that's that love-hate thing going on. I love it because it brings some sense of pleasure and seemingly enjoyment to my life. But also I hate it because of what it's doing to me and what it's doing to others around me. When you find yourself in that moment, you need to be reminded of that you are a son and a daughter of God. You have been rescued by Jesus. And so you are to live in response to the gospel. You're to live a life of faith and trust in Him and walk in the light. And he says, the way you do that is that you have to take these appetites, these sins, these things in secret, and you have to, and y'all said the word with me, expose them. You have to bring them out of the corner. You have to bring them into the light. Now, the process of exposure is usually something like this. Is that eventually, or in the beginning, we start off with some type of appetite that we start practicing over in secrecy, or something that possibly we're tempted by. And as we engage in that, usually we're the only one that knows, or there's someone else involved in this secret with us. And so it's just kind of our deal. But after you begin being convicted, or the Holy Spirit starts speaking and moving in your heart, then you know that you need God. And so what you eventually do is you take this secret, you now that you've been trying to hide from God, which you can't do. But anyway, you take it to God, you bring it to God, and you say, God, here it is. And now it's your secret with God. But a lot of us stop here, right? And so you take your secret. Now it's no longer a secret from God. Now it's a secret between you and God. And what you find is that there are moments of peace. There are moments of just that forgiveness. There's moments of clarity. There's all those moments. But if you stop there with the way that you're exposing this issue, then you will not experience full freedom and full healing. All through the New Testament, here's the message of the Scripture. You can't do it alone. You can't do it alone. You need God. And as James, the brother of Jesus, says, you need others. Look with me at James chapter 5, verse 16. Here's what James says. James says, therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that, or in order that you may be, will you say this word with me? Healed. He says, the prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. All throughout Scripture, what you find when it comes to exposing these things, these appetites, these cravings, these things that really just mess us up, trip us up, that are ruining our lives or have the potential to ruin our lives, is that there's a process of exposure. You take it out of the secret, you take it to God. You repent over it. You ask God for His help. You ask the filling of the Spirit. But what the Spirit always does and what God always leads you to do is eventually you take it to someone else who loves Jesus, loves you, and you bring them into the situation. This is how you find healing. Now, as you're seated there this morning, I understand the pushback. I thought of three main things that a lot of us think when we think about bringing these things into the light with other people. And these are the reasons why we don't do it enough. One is this. You guys, along with myself, wrestle with pride deep inside, don't you? You do not want anyone in your life to think that you're a wreck and then you don't have it all together. And I don't either. And so when I start struggling with something over in secret, and then I finally take it to God, and now it's a secret between myself and God, the last thing that I'm really thinking is okay, God, we got this thing squared with you now, is that I need to go and take this outside to someone else. Because for crying out loud, I'm a pastor. I don't need anyone knowing that I've got problems, right? Which is possibly one of the reasons why 1,500 pastors a month get out of the ministry. Maybe that's an issue. So here we are, and we stop here. And this is exactly what we should do, is take it to God, but we stop short of what God says. And we don't take it to other people. And the reason why is because we are afraid of what other people think of us. We're afraid of the embarrassment it may cause. Because we have to admit our need for help. But I'm telling you, as James says, and as I've said, seen where one scholar has written this, forgiveness takes place between you and God. But you don't experience full healing until you have someone else, another person, a brother or a sister in Christ, to help you work through that. It's essential. But that's one reason. It's pride. You don't want anyone to think you can't hold it all together. The second reason why is because you have the love-hate thing going on. Part of you loves it. Part of you hates it. And so you know, just like I do, is that, okay, as long as I keep it between just myself and God, it's still, no one knows. And yeah, it really kind of sucks to battle this thing. But once I bring it to so-and-so or to someone, then now I'm accountable. Then this person's going to ask me how I'm doing with it. And so this is another hurdle we have to overcome, isn't it? But then here's the third one. And this one really, really bothers me, but it's so true. And I can only speak from living in the South because I've never lived north of Tennessee, okay? But in churches today, the culture of a lot of churches is that if you bring these things to anyone, there's the fear of being judged. Condemned, and it's like they say, shooting their own wounded. You guys ever seen this happen? And so a lot of people are afraid to bring these things out into the church. And I don't mean on a platform or in front of everyone, but to someone. And you know what is really, really just heartbreaking to me about that? Is that the message of Scripture and the message of the church, of Christianity, is this. We're all jacked up. We're all broken and in desperate need of a savior, of a rescuer. But for some reason, when people start bringing their things out into the open and saying, I am messed up, I need help, then what does everyone do? Sadly, in a lot of cases, people start judging them. And that's wrong. It's messed up. So this morning, here's what you need to know. God's desire for you, with whatever it is you're battling with, whatever appetite that's giving you fits. It could be the appetite of sex that's going down different paths and channels. It could be pornography. It could be lust over someone else. It could be emotional affairs and relationships. If that's one of the areas you're struggling with, your God is saying to you, bring it to me first and then bring someone else in on this and confess it to them and ask them to pray for you and ask them to help you with it. If it's a food issue, and for some of us in here, you're eating in secrecy, and maybe God knows about it as far as you communicating it to him. Maybe you haven't brought him in on it, but it's causing you health issues. And these are things that are just really, it's humiliating to you. You're embarrassed to even admit it. You need to take it to God. You need to take it to someone else and ask them to pray for you and to help you through this. If it's something about progress at work, if it's something about you buy a lot of stuff and you got all this consumer debt and you're misspending money and all those things, guys, I'm telling you, if you want freedom from it, you expose it, you take it to God, you bring it in the light, and then you bring it to someone else. Now, here's why I'm so passionate about this. Here's why I can speak to it with a lot of sincerity. About 6-7 months ago, personally, I had an appetite issue. And it wasn't just eating. I'm still working on that one, okay? But I had an appetite issue. And I was really, really, really struggling with it. And it began as something over here in the secret. And I wasn't acting on it. It was just something I was battling more so mentally and spiritually. And I just tried to ignore it. Like, yeah, whatever. You know, it's not really there. But it just wouldn't go away. So finally, I was like, okay. And I took it to God. And in my time with God, I just started talking to him about it. I was like, God, I'm really a wreck over this. This won't leave me alone. I feel haunted by it. I don't know what to do with it. And I gave it to him. And I would feel this peace and I would experience this freedom and this, okay, God loves me and the grace that I was bathed in. And I mean, I felt all of that. But it still kept lingering. And so I escalated it. I started just weeping at times. Like, God, please take this away, God. Please make this leave me. Get this out of my life. I don't want this, God. Help me to hate it the way you hate it. I mean, all that stuff, even in tears. And I still battled it. So finally, there's a good friend of mine in the city that he and I meet 3 times a month for lunch. He's like a brother to me. He and I were going to lunch like we always do. And I sat him down and we're just really good friends. We're like brothers. And we just start talking this, stuff out, just, experiencing, our lunch as we normally do. And then finally at the end of it, his name is David. I said, David, listen, man, I've just got to share something with you. And I walked him through this battle for me over an appetite. See, this guy loves Jesus. And he loves me. And he wants more than anything to help me in my relationship with Jesus and with my family and my marriage and just holistically. This is what he wants from me. And so over a lunch, I just started sharing this with him and processing it with him. And it was just, and at first I was a little embarrassed to have to bring it up, but I was at the point where I was like, this is going to wreck me. I'm really tired of it. So I brought it to him. And as he listened to me, and as he asked questions, and as he gave counsel, what we did together, what God used that process for, was to bring it out into the open, into the light. And I kid you not, guys, he prayed for me that day, and I came away feeling healed. I felt healed. And then he would check up on me here and there and say, hey, man, I'm praying for you. How are you doing? Do you need anything? And I was like, no. And I cannot express to you, and probably some of you have experienced this before, what it's like to take something from secrecy, which is when it holds power over you, right? When you bring it in the light, it loses its power. So with God, that was part of it. But when I brought it out into the open with a very, very good friend and fully exposed this issue, it was freeing for me. I no longer walked around like I had something that was a secret. I now had God involved and a really, really good friend involved. And I began to experience healing. That's what your Heavenly Father wants for you. This is not something that we're to do here and there. This is something that should be in the constant, continual rhythm of our lives as Christ followers. But if I can, let me just share one other point with you that I think is absolutely worth noting. In this life, God wants, when you're experiencing appetites that you're struggling with, He wants, one, for you to recognize you need His help and you need someone else's help. But here's the other side of it. God desires for you to be a help to someone else. And this is where oftentimes we as Christians do a really, really bad job that jams this whole thing up. And a lot of the reason why is because we do not apply what Scripture teaches. Can I show you one other place in Scripture this morning as to how we're to be a help to others? Galatians 6:1. Look at this with me. Paul writes, he says, brothers and sisters, if you know anyone that is caught in a transgression, or you could say an out-of-control appetite, you who are spiritual should, please say this word with me, restore him or her in a spirit of, say this word, gentleness. Keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. The law of Christ is to love your neighbor as yourself. Verse 3. For if anyone thinks he or she is something, when in fact you are nothing, you're deceiving yourself. Don't you love this? Paul here says this is how you're to be a help to other people. Is that when other people are going through things, either you go to them or they come to you, your goal should always be to restore them gently, gently. And I love what Paul says. He says, looking to yourself, lest you also be tempted. You know what Paul's saying? The reality of it is that you have your own appetite problems, don't you? You have your own struggles. You have your own issues. So you need to make sure that you're watching yourself to where you don't become puffed up, prideful, arrogant, start throwing Bible darts at them, trying to condemn them, trying to act like you're better. But instead, you should be humbled by your own need for help from others and help from God. And he says, and when you do this, you're bearing the burdens of others, and you're ultimately fulfilling what Jesus said you're to do in this life, to love others like you love yourself. Guys, I'm telling you this morning, imagine with me. Imagine a group of people in a church. Because, you know, church, when you think of church lives, we think of like a building and a steeple and a location. That's not church. Church are the people in it and that are saved and walking in the Spirit of God. But imagine with me a group of people that lived with this. God, I need your help, and I need others' help, and I want to be a help. Imagine creating such a culture in a church to when people are going through hell in their life, and appetites are out of control, and they're going down a path that could destroy them and destroy others around them, that instead of running from churches, people run to the church. Because they know these people love me, they'll help me, they'll support me, and they'll help me get through this. Do you think our city needs a church like that? Wouldn't you like to be a part of a church like that? Absolutely. But in order for that to take place, every one of us in here have to get over ourselves. You got to recognize, as Paul said, the gospel. You were once in darkness, now you're in light. Not because of anything you've done or anything you can do, it's because of what Jesus did for you. He rescued you. That should humble you. That should move your heart and my heart to say, I'm nothing. And so when we see others going through problems and struggles and appetites out of control, our goal is to gently restore them, to get them back to where God wants them, where they're whole. They're whole spiritually, they're whole in their physically, they're whole in their relationships, they're whole in every area of life. Why? Because we too are broken and need the same. That's my dream, guys. That's our dream for this church. That's our dream for the impact on the community, is that God would use us in that way. So here's the application for today. Here's what I ask you to consider. What are the appetites that are just giving you fits? What are they? You may have one. You may have a half of one. Those of you that are in here that think you don't have one, you probably do. Okay? We all are a little delusional sometimes. But you probably have at least one. What is that appetite that you struggle with the most? Identify it. Take it out of secrecy. Talk to God about it. Tell God you need Him. You can't do it without Him. Repent over it if you've been acting on it. Third, find someone. You probably know of at least one person in your life that you know you love, and they love you, and they love Jesus, and they want the best for you. And you need to go, and you need to set up a coffee, a lunch, a phone call, something with them this week. And you need to share that with them and let them pray for you. And then lastly, start asking God. Say, God, just as you have helped me and just as others have helped me, will you use me to help others and have a heart to want to pour into, to love, and to help other people? That's what God desires for us in this life, guys. And that's what I hope for each and every one of us.